rail project is fundamentally flawed. That's the view of an experienced public transport planner that used to work on the project. David Bannister is a planner who now runs Minerva Transport Planning, and he worked for Queensland Rail a few years back on the QR needs of the Cross River Rail project. He's calling for the Queensland Audit Office to examine the project as it currently stands. The reason is, he says, the business plan, the project plan, bears little resemblance to what was submitted to the Infrastructure Australia Authority. I spoke to him earlier on today and asked him if he supported the project. And this was his answer. In fact, I'll come to that in just a moment.
Oh, that's much better. Hey, Jenny.
What are you doing?
I just pushed John Williamson down the bill and made us the headline act.
Oh, that's a really good idea. But maybe we better practice a bit. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Well, that's not going to happen unless it hails.
Jenny Woodward and Craig Zonka, and totally not John Williamson, 100% headlining ABC Brisbane's RFS Appeal Concert.
Plus, there are heaps of other great acts too.
Tickets are only $25, and proceeds help the Rural Fire Service in Queensland.
They are doing such an amazing job. Book now, abc.net.au/Brisbane.
What are we going to call ourselves?
4:10. I've bought my tickets to December 6th, the concert. You've got to come along. I'll be there. A whole lot of ABC people will be there. Brilliant musos and what. It'll be a great night, and all the money goes to the RFDS. Now, let me go back to the story I opened with. Brisbane's Cross River Rail project, according to my guest, is fundamentally flawed. He's an experienced transport planner. He used to work in QR, right in the very section where he helped plan Queensland Rail's needs for the project. And David Bannister is calling for the Audit Office of Queensland to examine the project as it currently stands because he says it's flawed and bears little resemblance to what was submitted to Infrastructure Australia. I asked him if he supported the project.
Fundamentally, Steve, I'm completely for the project. In my mind, it's the most important project in the state at the moment. It should be the highest priority, absolutely, 100% for the project.
Is it a significant project in a sort of an infrastructure or engineering sense?
Definitely. It's probably the most significant that I've seen, certainly in my career in Brisbane. It has, in terms of the way that it would change the urban form, there's almost nothing that would be anywhere near close to the significance of Cross River Rail.
Ideally, if everything was perfect, what would it achieve for Brisbane or for Queensland, the Cross River Rail project? Best case scenario.
So, best case scenario would be a significant increase in the capacity of the train network, faster trains, better coverage, opening up new land areas in the city, and basically making public transport, and particularly rail public transport, the mode of choice for people to commute and to go about their leisure activities as well.
So, it would give people a reason to be on the trains, not avoid them.
Indeed, exactly.
Give me a brief overview of the project. You used to work back in the Cross River Rail office. What were you doing there?
So my job, I was working with Queensland Rail as the interface with Cross River Rail. So for my job, it was basically to look at, from the rail operator's perspective, is what's being provided appropriate for the form of the project? Are we going to be able to operate the services sensibly? Is it the most efficient way of doing it? Does it integrate with the network properly? All the flow-on effects that the rail operator has to consider.
How long ago were you there?
I would have left the project, I think, in 2016, so it's been the best part of the last 4 or 5 years that I've been away.
So you were there when the original business case was sort of delivered or handed over or laid out, as it were?
Well, yeah, and I guess it even goes back further than that. I was there in the original one in 2010, so I've seen multiple iterations of this, including going back as far as the Inner City Rail Capacity Study, Cross River Rail, the BAT project, which was a variant of it, and then the 2017 business case, which was the most recent business case released for the project.
So you've worked right in the heart of the planning stages of these major infrastructure public transport projects in Brisbane, really.
Indeed, going back until the middle of last decade.
The infrastructure plan has changed significantly since that time. How much has it changed?
It has. The major changes at the northern and southern end. So through the core of the project, there's probably not much difference, and it's no noticeable difference. We have a new Albert Street station, a new Woolloongabbin station. However, from the beginning, we used to have a long tunnel that went down to Clapham Yard, the stabling yard at the southern end, and that was removed as part of the BAT process. And most recently, from the 2017 business case to what's been released earlier this year as part of the request for project change, there's been a significant change to the northern approach, particularly through Main Yard and the tracks between Northgate and Albion.
My guest is David Bannister. David Bannister is with a company called Minerva Transport Planning, based in the UK. He's worked on multiple rail projects in several different states of Australia and overseas. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. Steve Austin's my name. You see a major problem, as I understand it, and that the changes in the plan or the infrastructure plan of Cross River Rail that went to Infrastructure Australia no longer support the business case. In other words, the two don't match up. Explain why.
Yeah, so the original business case talked about having up to 30 trains an hour coming from the North Coast line and the Kipper Ring line. Basically, the way that this was able to occur was the arrangement of tracks on the north side of the city, which split the services from the Sunshine Coast line down into the Cross River Rail Tunnel, while the trains from Kipper Ring went through the existing mains on the same alignment as they do today. In the most recent release of the infrastructure in June, the track layouts do not allow that to occur anymore. So basically what's happening is all those trains now must be funneled through Cross River Rail instead of being able to be split out one to the other.
Now, won't that create a sort of a bottleneck or a traffic jam, for want of a better term?
Indeed, it does. So we know that the capacity of Cross River Rail is 24 trains per hour. And so immediately, if all these trains are being funneled into Cross River Rail, we can't get the 30 trains per hour that was included in the business case. So there is a fundamental change. We're talking about 6 trains per hour, or about 25% of the capacity has disappeared.
So there should have been 30 trains per hour, but because it goes through this one point of the Cross River Rail project, that'll now be at a maximum of only 24 trains per hour.
That's correct.
They've created a bottleneck.
They have.
Knowingly.
Knowingly, it seems, yes.
What would be the reasoning to do that? Would there be any engineering master plan to deliberately make that choice? Like cost, perhaps?
There would definitely have been a cost implication, although in the scheme of a project which is now in the $6+ billion mark, we're talking maybe in the few tens of millions. So there is a possibility for that. Main Yard, it's where the main changes have occurred, is a difficult sort of area. It's swampy, it has adjacency to the Inaugura Creek. So there are difficulties there. However, in order for it to have gone through the business case, these must have been resolved, because they went through a detailed design process which would have signed off on all those issues.
The plan that was, this final put was done in June this year, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
Okay. So what will this do to the Cross River Rail vision or idea?
So as we've just pointed out, it creates a bottleneck. The main issue is the way that the services would then be running through the city after this. So we can follow the tracks, and it is important to note that they haven't released an updated operating plan, but by following the tracks, we can see where these trains have to be funneled. So all the trains that come from the North Coast line and the Kipper Ring line have to be funneled through Cross River Rail, which means that the growth is limited. So we've gone from being able to put 20 trains an hour down through now to 24 trains per hour. It's also important to remember in the context of the new signalling system that would have increased the capacity of the existing corridor to 24 trains per hour anyway. So Cross River Rail for the North Coast line and Kipper Ring lines in particular is providing 0 trains per hour benefit over what the ETCS project would have done on its own.
So what you're telling me is, David Bannister, that they went to the public of Queensland with a good plan, but now, through a series of salami slicing or what have you, it's now a fundamentally flawed plan that, other than having an underground circle loop, it won't actually solve the originally intended problems.
That's exactly right. So in a very basic way, we have 2 corridors through the city at the moment, the mains and the suburbans. Cross River Rail becomes the 3rd corridor through the city. Effectively, they've moved the problem from one track to the other, and left one track completely underutilised by a factor of nearly 75%.
Is there any rail planning reason to do that, to leave a track underutilised by that much?
None that I can see. I mean, this is the issue. If we're talking about the benefit of spending $6 billion worth of capacity, we would want that capacity to be able to be utilised.
Was Cross River Rail going to be the end of the rail story? As I understand it, there were elements that were supposed to occur after the sort of the Cross River Rail inner city infrastructure takes place in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So Cross River Rail was never intended to be the be-all and end-all. It was actually a stage part of what was a major north-south realignment of the rail network. So going back to the connecting SEQ 2031 document at the early part of this decade, Cross River Rail was stage one of a project that would have included the Trouts Road corridor, which would have extended the Cross River Rail project from Roma Street up past Alderley on the Fernie Grove line and continued up the Trouts Road Reserve, the Northwest Transport Corridor Reserve, to Strathpine. And in doing this, that would have released far greater amounts of capacity, up to 20, 24 trains an hour from the Sunshine Coast, 20, 24 trains an hour coming from Kippering and the existing mains corridor.
This plan has to be signed off on by Infrastructure Australia and groups like that, doesn't it? I mean, what you're telling me is that Infrastructure Australia, that sees the project as a priority project, I think, doesn't have the right or accurate information before them now.
I would suggest that's the case. I can't speak for Infrastructure Australia. I'm not sure what they've seen. However, it is worth remembering that even in the 2017 business case, Infrastructure Australia did have some doubts about some of the methodology that was used. That was well publicised at the time that they had doubts about the way that the Cross River Rail business case and the operating plan had come together.
Can these defects, and this is what you're describing as a general design defect, can they be remedied?
Absolutely.
How?
And it's important to recognise that the contracts have been signed. So there are limitations. So it's not a back to the drawing board, but there are tweaks that can be made that would resolve these issues, very small in the scheme of the project. So one is to revert to the northern approach design from the 2017 business case. This would give us back everything that was there, the up to 30 trains per hour of capacity, the ability to provide redundancy and increase service levels beyond what the current project would do.
And it was the 2017 business case that went to Infrastructure Australia anyhow that they agreed to.
That's correct. Yeah, exactly right. The other aspect is some provisioning for future proofing. So the tunnel at the moment is probably short. We know that the original one went all the way through to Clapham. In particular, in the light of the announcement yesterday to bring forward the Salisbury to Bow Desert, there's going to be a need for an increased capacity in that part, so between Dutton Park through to Salisbury, where the junction would occur.
Because down at the Bow Desert end, there's all these brand new housing estates that are going to have huge numbers of people in them.
Indeed. Mm. And at the moment, there's effectively another bottleneck between Dutton Park and Clapham Yard, where the trains have to come out of the tunnel and then go into stabling before some of them continue further south. So there will need to be an expansion of that in one way, shape or form, and the best way to do that would be to revert to the original tunnel. Additionally, that tunnel also provided a completely segregated freight track, which removed the freight curfew. And given we've also had the discussion about inland rail and looking like that's going to be announced, having a dedicated freight track through to the port, which doesn't have to operate with passenger trains, would have been a side benefit of extending that tunnel through to the south. Now, given that that tunnel won't be done as part of this project, the sensible thing to do would be include tunnel stubs at the underground station at Dutton Park.
What's a tunnel stub?
So we have the twin bore tunnels that go through underneath and then they come up to the surface. A tunnel stub would be simply diverting the tunnel boring machines off to the side so that when you come to extend it later on, there's a place that you can connect into which is not on the operating line. And this is the really crucial part, is that once this gets developed, once it gets built, if you wanted to ever come back and do anything to remedy it, not only are you working in an environment where it's not designed to be extended, it's an operating railway. So if you wanted to extend that, you would have to shut the railway down for an extended period of time.
Highly problematic and difficult.
And expensive.
My guest is David Bannister. David Bannister is an experienced person in the area of rail and transport. He's a professional rail planner. He's worked on the Cross River Rail Project. He's worked on rail projects in New South Wales and Victoria and other places in like the United Kingdom and Europe. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. So what you're telling me is that Infrastructure Australia have approved a plan that no longer exists. that is a fundamental flaw or defect in the current plan of Cross River Rail as of this date, and that overall the whole thing looks like it's not going to solve the original promise to the people of Queensland.
That's exactly right. As sad as it is to say, that's correct. Cross River Rail is, in its current form, not fit for purpose.
The Cross River Rail Authority here in Brisbane has a major office in a major building, multiple floors, multiple staff, a team of professionals, public relations people, government liaison, rail liaison. How can it be so wrong with all those professionals working to get the best Cross River Rail project for the state?
It's a question I can't answer, Steve. I'm without understanding as to how that could have been the case.
Who could review this? Who should look at this and ask some fundamental questions about this whole, both the cost and the design of this project? You've made submissions, as I understand it, to both Cross River Rail and other bodies, is that right?
I have indeed. So when the updated infrastructure plans were released in June, this was part of what they call the request for project change process, whereby the Coordinator General's office has to approve that the project is meeting its objectives and various environmental standards, etc. And so as part of that, I made a submission at the time to the Coordinator General's office, highlighting exactly the issues that I've seen and that we've discussed today.
You've told the Coordinator General of Queensland?
Indeed, in great detail. So it was a fully worked submission.
With documents, maps, data, actuarial figures, projections, the whole lot?
Indeed. So basically that has to have gone to Cross River Rail Delivery Authority. That's part of the process for this. And in the Coordinator General's report, there was no mention of any of the issues raised.
None.
There was not one mention. The words operation or service plan didn't appear in the report. There was nothing. And this is the other aspect. You know, we live in an environment where don't come to me with problems, come to me with solutions. I explained at the time how these minor tweaks would, even if it's the same project form at the moment, we can remedy it later on, without great impact, without great cost, and that seemingly was ignored.
You provided them with solutions, so you're not just a complainer. You said, and here's a set of solutions to fix your problem.
Exactly right. And this is the thing. I'm passionate. I have spent a lot of time in Brisbane. I want to see the rail network be as good as it can for the people of southeast Queensland. So for me, this is my area of expertise. This is my specialty. I want to make it as good as possible. And I have provided them with that information.
David Bannister is my guest. So who could audit this project to have a close look at it?
Well, I'd suggest that it's getting to the point that the Queensland Audit Office needs to start having a look. The Auditor General should really take a look at the project, how these decisions were made, particularly in what we've discussed, that there was a solution which was better than what was current, which was provided to Infrastructure Australia. And just have a look at exactly how these decisions throughout the project's lifespan have been made.
Because this project is not what the people of Queensland think it is.
I would suggest it's not.
And Infrastructure Australia has a business plan before them that they've approved that is now no longer relevant or in any way similar to what was submitted to them.
Certainly. The 2017 business case, in terms of the infrastructure that's now been put up, cannot be compatible.
And the plan as it currently stands at this point in time is possibly the worst case scenario to fix the problem rather than the best case.
I would say it's very much the worst case scenario.
David Bannister, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
David Bannister, Director of Minerva Transport Planning Company. He's worked on major rail projects both here in Queensland, in New South Wales, in Victoria, in the United Kingdom, and different places in Europe. We'll follow this story up and see if I can bring you some more about what is fundamentally wrong, as some professionals currently see it, with the Cross River Rail project as it currently stands. November.